Okay, today's Daf Chavav. We are on the last two words of Chav Hayim and Beis, discussing the sandal, right? That deformed baby that's all flattened out, and I guess I called it the mushed baby. So that's it's mushed. Right? So,
that's technical term.
Yes. So the Gemara is now going to bring down other instances where they discuss that the sandal is or is not considered a legitimate vlad, and the Gemara is going to have to explain why, because we said yesterday that the sandal only comes with its twin. So if the twin is born, there's no shouldn't be much of a nafkamina whether the sandal is a vlad or not. It's coming out with a fully fledged baby at the same time. So the Gemara says, sandal ditran. What about the sandal that we mentioned in the Mishnah by Bechoros? In the Mishnah in Bechoros, which is on Daf Mem Vav, so Mishnah in Bechoros on Daf Mem Vav, that says, What is the halacha that we need to discuss the sandal? So the Mishnah over there says that Hamatpelas sandal or shilya. So you know, if he gives birth to a sandal or a placenta, the one that comes after or the one that comes with is a bechor lenachla, but not a bechor lekohen. The one that comes after is a bechor lenachla. We'll get to pishdayim, but the next one is not going to consider the bechor. Doesn't have the kedusha of a bechor in that it has to have pidyon haben. So the Gemara says, my hilchasa, what reason they mention the sandal? He said, even without the sandal, the vlad that comes afterwards is not a bechor gamor, because I mean, it already comes with the sandal. So so Gemara says, logave leba harav. It's talking about, like we just mentioned, talking about the one that comes afterwards, and the same later, the twin, the sandal's twin. Bechor lenachla ve'im bechor lekohen. It's talking about the sandal's twin. It's a bechor lenachla, and we'll get to pishnayim. But if the sandal kind of came out first, it would not be a bechor lekohen because it's not peterechem. It didn't open the womb. Rashi says, leva acharav klomer lekach huskar sandal. It's the last of the short long of the top lines. Lekach huskar sandal im yotzev lat sheimo acharav have a bechor lenachla bechor lekohen. The one that's talking about the twin that comes with it. What about sandal de tzadan gabi krisus? There's a Mishnah in krisus on Dav Zayin that says that if someone's mapela, someone that gives birth, you know, to a sandal, she has to bring a carbon like other women who give birth. Rashi's gabi krisos beperakama le'in chi of carbon lemay hilchosa. What is it teaching us? Typically, de mishum vlad she'imo tavi carbon. It would already have to bring the carbon anyway. She'd have to bring the carbon anyway because the sandal's always born with a viable twin. So Shmuel says, "She'im teled vlad derech dofen." He's talking about where she gives a C-section, right? They opened her up a C-section. I don't know how this is possible. The sandal derech rechem, and the sandal she gives birth via vaginal delivery. So I guess it's twins. One vaginal, then she goes into distress, I guess, and then they have a C-section for the next one. The ma'ase carbon of sandal. You'll bring the carbon of the sandal because Shmuel mentions. There is a machlokas over there, or the machlokas here too, as to whether or not a C-section is considered a real birth in order to rehive the woman to bring a carbon. Right, so that's what it says. Rashi says, "Vlad yotze derech dofen like they sam lo mechayev carbon." He said, according to that sheet, he not be mechayev carbon. Teksiv gabe carbon ishaki sazria v'yolda zachar atche teilev imokam shem zareas until she gives birth, the same place where she has the zria. But so that would be so the halach would be the teacher that since she had the sandal derech of her rechem, she would have to still bring the carbon. Now the Gemara says, what about according to Rabbi Shimon, who says yotze derech dofen vlad ma'al yehu? He says there's no difference. Just if you have a C-section, that's considered a real birth, a real delivery, and you have to bring a carbon anyway. So what's the chiddush of telling me we have to bring a carbon? Who cares about the sandal? They're already having she's having the baby. Right? Rashi says, Rabbi Shimon. Rav Shimon, the Amar Yotzi Derech Dofen Vlad Ma'al Yehu, Michael Meimar. So Amar Rav Yirmiyah, another fascinating case. She'im Teled Vlad Biyosa Ovedes Kochavim. She's in the midst of the conversion process. So she gives birth to the viable baby while she's still a goy, and then she brings birth to the sandal after the giyor is completed. Then the Ma'aseh Korban of sandal. How that happens, I'm not exactly sure.
What?
Yeah, what's the water worth? Enough time to complete the Gavis process in between. Whatever it is. You're not doing a bris mitzvah. It's just going to the mikvah. Right, Rashi says, so that's the case. So Amar Rabbanon Kamei Papa. So the Rabbanon who said this yeshiva, I guess the Rabbanon in the yeshiva, they said to Rav Papa, how can you have any of these answers? Umi istnu lahani shinuyi. How can you say this? Batanya, we have a brisa that says, kishehen yotzin, ein yotzin elekruchin. They give birth bound up together. They're karuch together, the sandal and the baby. So how can you even have the possibility of it, one being yotzei dofen and one being vaginal, or one being before the gerus, one being after the gerus? It's impossible. They're born at the exact same time. They're kruchin. Rashi says, divukim zebezeh. If they come out together, if they bring born together, it's impossible. There's no time, not enough time to have a giur in between. So Amra Papa, so Papa says, okay, you're right that they're tied together, but it's an interesting way. He says, Michroch karile vlad l'sandal apalge. When they're tied, when they bound together, the vlad is basically, the viable vlad is holding on to the midsection, I guess, of the sandal. So it's the sandal's head is above, and the vlad's feet are below. It's, you know, it's a little off center like this, right? So michrach karach vlad le vlad the sandal palge ushemachlif le klape reshe, and right. So that's how he said that they're not exactly together. They're not lined up. They're like this. Yeah, body. It's head. The head of the vlad lines up with the midsection of the sandal, so therefore the sandal's head protrudes and the vlad's feet protrude. So now we're going to see how the baby's born, normally or breached. The baby's born normally, then the sandal's head comes out first. The baby's born breached, then the vlad's feet are coming out first. So, and breached birth is, you know. So he says v'gabi b'choros, in the case in b'choros where we talked about that the vlad is a b'chor l'nachla, but not a b'chor l'kohen. That's the case. Kigon sheyotzu derech roshayim, they went out head first. The sandal kandivinafik. So then the sandal came out first, and therefore the sandal is the peterechem. But since it's not something that the people only be the b'chol nachla. Remember, we say that it has to be that the parents are chas that they're going to they're going to lose them, and they're chas on their life. Here, there's someone. It's a non-viable fetus, so it doesn't get the b'chol nachla. But God Karisus, where we say that you still have to bring a carbon for the sandal, sheyotzu derech margulosayim, they came out breached, the vlad kadim v'nafik, so therefore the vlad comes out first. So she is mizgarya, she had the vlad's feet are coming out first,
right.
And then she does the giur, and then the sandal comes out. So
whatever. The mother does the giur?
Yeah. Who else is going to do the giur?
Yeah, I'm just, right.
So you have the vlad coming out, the vlad coming out feet first as she's a goy.
She delivers the baby.
She starts the delivery because they're tied together. She starts the delivery of the vlad's feet first, finishes the giur process, and then the sandal comes out. She still has to bring a karbon for the sandal. Right, Rav Huna bar Tachlifa, which made the Rava Amar. He says no. Afilu tema mitzum tzamim. You can even say we're dealing with the case where they're bound together equally. They're mitzum tzamim. The ipuch shemakita. And we're going to learn the words of Rav Papa just the opposite. And he's going to say, the Gavi Bechoros, when it comes to Bechoros, is Sheyotzu Derech Margaloseyem. That's when they came out feet first. Right? So Vlad, the Isbe Chiyusa, the Vlad, who has life force in it, Sarich, he holds on. Vulo Nafik, he doesn't come out right away. But the Sandal, the Lesbe Chayusa, Sharif and Nafik. The Sandal doesn't have Chayusa, it gets pushed out and comes out right away. I guess they separate a little bit, even though they're together. So the Sandal will come out first. The Sandal will come out first.
The other one, the I don't know how you do it.
Sandal and the Vlad.
Yeah, the Sandal would be the first one out.
Sandal's the first one out.
How come, isn't it the viable one to come out first?
No, because Gemara says the opposite. The Gemara is saying that they're coming out by Bechoros, they're coming out Derech Margalo Sehem. So they're coming out, I guess, feet first. So they're coming.
That in itself is backwards.
Yeah, it's a breached birth. So they're coming out, it's a breached birth. That happens. So they're coming out feet first, and the Gemara is holding that the Vlad, which has life to it, for some reason that holds on and doesn't come out right away. But the sandal, which doesn't have any life force, slips out first. So the vlad is slipping out, the sandal is slipping out first. it's Peter Rechem, so the one that comes afterwards is not a Bechor for a Kohen, but is Bechor Lenachla, because it's the surviving Bechor. And then it says Legabi Krisus, the other way around, with the Krisus, where we say that we need the case of teaching that the sandal, we even bring a carbon for the sandal, is Sheyotu Derech Hashayim. Now they're coming out regularly, they're coming out head first. So Vlad, Yisbei Chayusa, the Vlad that has life, mean the Nafik Risha Have Leda. It's considered a Leda the moment the head comes out. But the sandal, because it doesn't have any life force in it, Ad Nafik Rube. It's only considered born until the entire thing comes out. So what's the case? The case is, again, she's in the middle of the Giyor process. So the Vlad comes out, they're coming out tied together. The Vlad comes out, they're tied together anyway. The Vlad comes out first, that and while she's a Goy, and then she finishes the Giyor process, and the sandal comes out. That's the case of the Gemara. That's why you have these Mishnayos that discuss the sandal, even though they're born together.
This is a point of clarification. So the blood that comes out first, that survives, before her Giyor,
yeah.
Does that baby also require to be converted?
Whatever the rules are of Geirus would imply to the baby. So I would probably assume, yeah, it was born when she's not Jewish. Okay, Shalya Babayas. Okay, so now what you have, I think a Shalya is a Shilya, it's the placenta. Right? It's the placenta in a house, right? So it's like, okay, this placenta is in the house. I guess she had to push out the placenta, even though there is no recognizable, there's nothing inside recognizable. Right? So Gemara says, Habayas Tame. The house becomes Tame, Mishum Olamais. Rashi says, Habayas Tame, Mishum Olamais, the Vlad Havaba, there must have been a Vlad in there, and it died. And he says, Losha Shulya Vlad, we're not viewing the placenta itself as the baby. Elosha Ein Shulya below Vlad. It's impossible, Mishnah says, that there's a placenta without the Vlad, and therefore the fact that we don't see the Vlad must mean that it got, you know, disintegrated or got gobbled up inside, and we think that maybe it disintegrated after it left the mother's womb, and therefore the house is tummy because you had a dead body in the house.
It must have emerged
somehow. Reb Shimon says no, Nimo Kavlad Achlo Yotza. Like you said, he says no. Maybe the Vlad disintegrated inside the mother. Rashi says Nimo Kavlad Venase Dam Venisare Bedam Leda Ubata Varov. It got all mixed up inside, and therefore when it came out, there wasn't anything. It was just blood inside. So she's Tamenida, but there was no birth, and there's no dead baby. So therefore, there's no tuma in the house. Okay.
Reb Shimon is arguing. He's saying that there's no tuma.
Correct. Correct.
Well, there's no baby, there's no tumor.
Right. He said that the Chachamim said that it's impossible that there was a birth of a Shilya without the Vlad. And he says, well, who says? Maybe the Vlad was disintegrated inside the womb. And when it came out, there was nothing there. It was just the placenta. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Brisa. Shilya, that we mentioned in our Mishnah, right? Tchilasa, originally, I guess, Dome L'chut Shel Arev. It's similar to the thread on the woof, right? Or the warp, I forgot which one. I think it's the woof, right? It's on the woof, right? Right? The sofa, and at the bottom, I guess, dome kiturmus. It looks like a turmus, some sort of lentil. V'chalula kichotzeres. I don't know what that means. And it looks like the kichotzeres is some sort of musical instrument. Right?
Horn.
And so it's chalula kichotzeres. V'ein shilya pechusa mitefach. And in order for it to be considered a kashilya, it has to have a tefach, the size of a tefach. So if it's less than a tefach, the Chachamim would say that it's not considered a shilya. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, shilya dome lekorkevan shel tarnagolim. The shilya is similar to the crop, right? The crop of the chickens. Shehadakin yotzi mimena, that it's connected into the insides. But until it gets that size, I guess it's not considered a shilya to be metameh. Rav Oshia, who's Z'ira de Minchavre, I guess that's what his name is, Rav Oshia, who's the younger from...
Rav Oshia is Z'ira.
Right, the younger one, de Minchavre, right? Chamisha Shi'urin Tefach. There are five things that their shear is a Tefach, an Elohim. These are what they are. Shilya, Shofar, Shidra, Dofen, Sukkah, Ve'ezov. We'll figure out what all those are. Shilya, what's a Shilya? It's a Tefach. But we just said, it has to be the size of a Tefach in order for it to be considered a Shilya, to transmit Tumah. That's number one. Number two, Shofar. What's a Shofar? The Tanya, because we learned in a Braisa. Kamiyer Shior Shofar, how long does a shofar have to be? Perish Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel explained, put it in the palm of your hand, and I guess close your fingers, right? Close your fingers. The year lekanakan, and see a little bit come out from either side, because that's the side, your palm is basically a tefach, so if you have to close your fingers to see it from side to side, from either side, that's going to be considered the size of a shofar. Rashi says, sheyochazenu biyado, achiza is be tefach, shetefach arba etzbaos begodel. The tefach is four fingers considered a tefach. The shofar has to be a little bit bigger so you can see it from either side. Shidra mahi, what's a shidra, which is a spine? The amara parnach, amara yochanan, shidro shelulav, the spine of the lulav, sorach sheyotzi min hadas tefach. It has to rise above the top of the hadasim by a tefach. Rashi says, shidro doesn't mean the leaves, not the, you know, they split up at the end, it's the thicker part in the middle, the thickest part in the middle has to extend above the top of the hadasim by a kefach. At Dofen Sukkah, we're talking about the wall of the Sukkah, he says, the Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, shtayim kehil chasan, you have to have two walls that have to be the appropriate size, shtayim kehil chasan, and shlishis afil tefach. The third wall can just be a tefach. There has to be some lavud in there also, but the third wall can be the size of a tefach. Ezov, the hyssop. What's the hyssop? Ezov, we talk about, you use that for when you retire the mitzorah, with that sreifas paraduma, when you're sprinkling for the tamal ames, you have this hyssop thing, right? Kitani rabbi chia, ezov tefach. It has to be the size of a tefach in order to be used. Amar rab chanina bar papa, dorish shila ishkvar timrasa, Plas mas niyasa v'tarte shmeitasa shiur tefach. There are five times you mention the word need a tefach. Three of them are mentioned are Tanaitic statements, and two of them are shmuos, are things that the Amoraim that Amoraim said. The Gemara says, "What are you talking about? Tarti chadahi." It's looking at look just count. Ours is a Mishnah, right? The shofar is a brisa. The shidra is amara parnach. That's not the dofen sukkah is a brisa. And the Ezov is Tani Rabbi Chia. It's a Brisa. So it's 4 and 1. Why are you telling me it's 3 and 2? So he says, the last one of Rabbi Chia, that Amar Rabbi, Ema Amar Rabbi Chia Ezov Tefach. Rabbi Chia said, not that Rabbi Chia quoted a Brisa. And Rashi is very important. Rashi, the last of the short lines, Ema Amar Rabbi Chia, Uminafshe Ka Amar. He said it himself. He didn't say it as a Brisa. The Rabbi Chia Tana Va'amorahu. Rabbi Chia is a split personality. He's both a Tana and a Mora. He actually straddled. He's right after Rebbe, the Talmud of Rebbe. He's actually the Masader of most of the Brisos. But yet, he's considered both a Tana and a Mora. The Hecha to Amar Minashe, if he says something by himself, the Lashon Memra, as a Memra, just the same as Amar, that's a Shemaisa. But if it's Tani Rabbi Chia, that's a Brisa. So in our case over here, instead of saying Tani Rabbi Chia that the Ezov is Tefach, say Amar Rabbi Chia that the Ezov is a Tefach, and then I have three Tanaitic statements and two Amoraic statements. Okay.
It's amending the word here.
It's, instead of the word saying Tani, it's Amar. So that's how you get. That's how you keep the consistency. Amar then says Besulecha. And are there no other things that we discuss that are a Tefach? So like Amar is going to go through a little bit of a survey of different Shas topics, none of which we're really familiar with. So Behaika, the following case, Commissioner in Olos, third para commissioner Olos, regarding Tumas Ol Meis. So we have a small ohel thing, right? A small thing that is a tefach, al tefach, al rum tefach maruba. It's a tefach cube, basically, this thing. It's a tefach cube. So what happens? So it's a tefach cube, and it's lifted up the ground a little bit. So if I have a little piece of tamei meis on one side, and a kli on the underneath it the other side, it's considered a what?
An ohel.
It's an ohel. It has to be a certain size. It's considered an ohel, and therefore, the tumah from the piece of the meis will transmit onto the item that's underneath it, right? It says, maybe it's a tumah, that's maybe it's a tumah, and also chotzes b'pnei tumah. It also is considered a chatzitz b'pnei tumah, meaning that it stops the tumah underneath it from going up, because that's considered an ol. Rashi says, tefach al tefach, the first white line, it's an ol katon, which is tefach cubed. It says, maybe a tumah, in kizayis min hameis b'tzad zeh. Kizayis is on one side, v'kli b'tzad zeh, Have a tummy kli machmas olameis. The kli becomes tummy. And what about chotzis b'pnei tuma? Im tuma tachtov. So there's tuma under this ol thing. The kli al gabov, and the kli is on top of it. Ha kli tar. The the kli is considered tahor. So you have another case where it's very important about a teflach. So Gemara says, no, no. When we mention teflach, we're just talking about stam teflach. You're talking about a teflach cubed. That's something else. It goes teflach kamrinan, teflach al teflach lo kamrinan. That's not what we're talking about. Gemara says, okay, fine. Va'ika, we have the following case regarding a teflach. This is a Mishnah in Kalim. Okay, even hayotze min hatanor teflach. The stone that comes out of the oven is a teflach. V'min hakira, and the one that comes out of the kira is shalosh etzbaos chibor. What is that? Okay, so first, Rashi, interesting, gives a distinction between a kior and a tanur. He says that the kior is a heating element that you can cook one pot on, and a tanur you can keep two pots on, which is really the difference. That's not what it says elsewhere. The kira was inside when you cook on top. Okay, that's what we learn in the Shabbos. So I'm not sure what Rashi's saying here. Everyone asks, fine. So he says, what's the case? The case Rashi is chibor. What happens is, I guess, anything on a kli that you use to handle the kli is going to be considered part of the kli. So if the kli becomes tameh, that becomes tameh as well. If it's too long and something that you're going to cut off, then it's not part of the kli. So in order for it to be considered part of the kli, it has to be have a handle coming out of the oven that I guess you're going to use it to hold. It has to be a teflach. Any part of it that's longer than a teflach, you're going to chop off anyway, so that extension beyond the teflach is not going to contract a tuma along with the tanur or the kior if it became tamei. Right? Just see Rashi saying that. He says chibor, it's a connection. Uke kan tanur dami, and it's similar to the, it's considered part of the tanur. Mipnei shetzrich la tanur lios lo yad, because the tanur has to have a handle, it has to have a yad. Sheim nitma hatanur. If the tanur becomes tamei, pasha alea tamei. Anything, I guess, that's on top of the handle also becomes tamei. Sha tanur, the oven itself, which usually made from klicheres. So it's not going to get tumah from the outside. Something has to go inside to make it tamei. So afa pishen rekabo tumi gabo, mitamei asacheirim gabo. So once it becomes tamei in the inside, the tanur, so the outside is also tamei. So anything attached to it on the outside is going to be tamei. Mitamei asacheirim gabo, the amr b'toros kwanim, hilkach yado, the handle, alpha gav to lesli avira, even though there's no inside to be metame the handle, it can become tame because once the tanur itself becomes tame the inside, the tumah extends outside. Aval yoser mitefach, but anything longer than a tefach, omedes limatel, it's going to be cut off. Shehi godol yoser midai, it's too big, and therefore lo have yad. So it's just, so only the tefach portion of the handle is going to be considered a part of the kli to be makabel tumah. So you have another instance of teflach. The Gemara says, no, kika amrinan, what we're talking about in our case, when we listed five, is hecha devitzir mitefach lo chazi. Aval hacha kol shekain devatzir mitefach ya tanaru. It's a big difference. When we're talking about our case, we're saying a tefach is the shear, below a tefach is not a shear. By the tanur, we're saying the tefach is a shear, and less than the tefach is still the shear. It's more than a tefach that's not the shear. It's going the other way. Because we're saying, in our case, like the lulav, it has to have a tefach. Any less than a tefach is not considered kosher shidra. In the case of the tanur, you need a tefach. Anything more than a tefach is not tamei. Anything less than a tefach still is tamei. So it's a different perspective on the tefach, and therefore, it's not similar to what we're discussing. The Gemara says, okay, I'll ask you another question. The ha'ika, the following case, the tanuri banos, the small little ovens used by the little kids that they play with. It reminds me of the Easy Bake ovens. You know, they're talking about, you know, those Betty Crocker. That's a side fell on that one too. Okay, the easy bake ovens, right? That's what they are. Right? He smirks because he knows what I'm referring to. So that's what's funny. So he says, so because they don't, what?
Send it to
club. Okay. Good wine. So, right, sorry. Tanuri banos tefach, the size of the children, the small ovens used by the little girls, is a tefach. Rashi says, Na'aros kitanos osim tanurim l'schok. The Tanya with the following brisa. It's an interesting brisa. Also, there's a brisa that they changed it. This might be really a Mishnah. It might be the Mishnah Kalim, Mishnah Hay, Perik Hay, Mishnah Aleph. So the snan, tanur b'tchiloso arba'a v'shiyarov arba'a divrei Meir. Rav Meir says, in order for a tanur, for an oven, to be big enough to be able to contract tumah, it has to initially be the size of four tvachim the size, and I guess maybe it's the height. I might think it would be the height. And also, And I guess if it breaks, it still has to have four tefachim. Something, I guess it breaks somewhere else, has to be as high for. And the initial tanur to be considered a kli has to have four tefachim. If it breaks and has less than four tefachim, it's not considered a kli anymore, and therefore it loses its tumah. Right? And Abba Divrei Rav Meir. Chachamim Ormim say, wait, Bemet Amar Mamurim, when are we talking about this four tefachim? That's about the height, and it has to be four tefachim. That's Begadol. That's a tanur used by the Gedolim, that's used for baking and for roasting, like a regular tanur. Aval Bekatan, but a tanur used for the Katanim, Tchilasa Koshehu. It only has to be the size of a Koshehu in order for it to be considered a kli, to be Mekabel Tuma. And then it says, Mishem Tigomer Milachto, when it's finished, Vishiyarov Birubo. Not sure where that goes on. Something say goes back to the big tanur that after it's finished and it breaks, you have to have rov left over to it. It's not for us. The kama kolshu. What's the kolshu that they mention about the size of the kid's tanur? What's it? Amar Yana tefach shekain osin tanuri benos tefach. It's only a tefach. The easy bake oven is only a tefach. So that's, you see, another concept. And then that's considered a real kli. And if it's considered a real kli, it can be mekabel tuma. So you see this idea of a tefach. So the Gemara says, no, bepluta lo kamayri. We're not discussing a case of a machlokas. When we say tefach, it's something that everyone agrees to. And therefore, this is a machlokas. Because Rav Meir says it's four tefachim. And Chachamim, the one says, no, it could be a tefach. But Tosos points out, but in the case of sukkah, there's also a machlokas. Right? Because we said in dofen sukkah, it's 2 plus 1. Some people say it has to be 3 plus 1. So Tosos answers, yeah. But no one's arguing about the last wall. Right. That one, whether or not the extra one, everyone agrees that it's tefach. So the machlokas is not about the tefach. The machlokas is about something extraneous to tefach. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, hasha de asis lahachi. Now that we came on to this answer about that Rav Osha didn't count things that are subject to machlokas, hanami, why don't we give this answer before this, or we can give this answer before about the handle coming out of the stove, that's also pluktahi, because we says it has to be a tefach, right? But Rabbi Yehuda has a different shita. The Katani Sefer, the end of that Mishnah said, right, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, lo amru, when do we say, lo amru tefach, when do we say that more than a tefach is not considered a handle, elam in a tanur lekotel? It depends on how the tanur is situated. Okay, if the tanur is the handle of the oven is coming out in a certain way that it's taking up space in the house, like it's coming out to the side, then you're going to cut it. But if it's not taking up any place and it's not bothering you, maybe the handle protrudes outside or protrudes into a hole in the wall, then you're not going to cut. Then you're not going to cut it. So in that case, the handle would become tamei even beyond the tefach. So you see, there's a machlokas there also. So we could have said the reason why that's not listed is because of the, instead of making a distinction of above and below a tefach, whether it's kosher or not kosher, make the distinction that's talking about a machlokas, and therefore it's not listed. The Gemara says, okay, v'ha'ika mas geras tefach. We find that the shulchan, right, in the Mishkan, had this this lip around it that was a tefach. So the Gemara says, "Bichsivan lo kamayri." We're discussing cases that are not written in the psukim. Okay, fine. Ba'ika kaporis. There's a cover on top of the aron which is a tefach thick, and that's not mentioned in the psukim. But says, "Not bekadoshim lo kamayri." We're not talking about things that are kodesh. We're talking about things that are mundane. So the Gemara says, "Ba'ika," and the Gemara says, "Well, what about this? We have the following case that also deals with tefach. Daya lakora." When you're making the cross beam across a mavoi, it has to be thickness of a tefach. So Gemara says, no, that's a din derabanan. The whole idea of the korah and that's just the derabanan. But the derabanan lo kamayri. So ella, we're talking about b'tchsivan, ella b'tchsivan v'lo maifresh shiurayu. We're talking about things that are, I guess, mentioned in the Torah, but the shear is not given, and we the derabanan gave the shear of a tefach. Nothing to do with neither, the whole. A korah is a dira. In other words, the halacha of a korah is a dira. We're talking about halachas of the deraisa, but the rabbanim are telling you what the shear of that din deraisa is. Right? I think that's what he's saying.
The whole concept of that is
din derabanan, about how you fix the korah on the mavoi. And we'll get to that. Get to that in a couple months. We'll get to air.
You're allowed to carry him in the race.
I think so. Yeah. Fine. Yosef Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Kameda Rav Kahana. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta is sitting in front of Rav Kahana. The Yosef Ka'amar, and he's stating, and he says, Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav. Yehuda says the name of Rav. Kol Shlosha Yomim Rishonim Tolin Eshashilya Bevlad. Mikanda Elach Choshim Levad Acher. So she gives birth on day one. If the shilya, the placenta, comes out within the next 3 days, we assume that that placenta is tied to the first birth. If the shilya, comes out after 3 days, we're going to assume that was from another baby, and therefore we're counting the days of Tumah V'Tahara. You have to now figure it out based on the birth being a couple days later with the shilya. We have to worry. Rashi says, "V'kol gimel yomim, higom yotzav lat glila v'shilya achara v'tol gimel yomim." So then, tolling us a shilya bo. And we told the shilya for that birth, and we're not choshish, there was another birth. The toch hazman hazeh, asuya hashilya lishakev achar vlad, shahaisim menu tvelo. Because I guess the placentas can be delayed delivering the placenta for 3 days. Vim zeh zachar, chashal zachar bovad, and if it gave birth to a boy, we only view it as a boy. But mikanda elik rashi says, shem of vlad after 3 days, shem of vlad achar haya imo, maybe with another vlad there, and it was in a keva, and therefore you have to count the double days from the keva. So Amra lay. So Rav Kahana says back to Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, Umi Amar Rav Hachi. Did Rav really say that? The Ha Amar Rav, didn't Rav say when there are two, I guess there are two births? It says, Ein Havlad Misakiv Acher Chaveru Klum. The twin is born right away with the vlad. How can you be concerned and tell me that the shilya that coming out is from another baby? If they were twins, they'd come out the same time. Right, and they come at the same time. So Ishtik, he said he was quiet. Rav Yitzchak had nothing to answer. So Amar Leis, the Rav Kahana says back to him, well, I have an answer for you. Dilma, right? It's like when you deliver to your kid and you ask a cash question, he has no idea.
You deliver simultaneously.
Well, close enough in time that it's not going to be that. No, we said that the sandals is delivered simultaneously. The babies are not, but delivered right around the same time. Right? It says Ein Avad Me'acher. They come together.
Well.
Listen, there is, I mean, what's
you
the...
Say, it's like it could be an
okay. Yeah, it's not going to be 3 days. It's not going to be... Right. Okay. So Amrlei, so he says some Dilma, Kanbe Nefel, Kanbe Ben Kayoma. This is what I'm saying. Either, this is maybe one talking about once a Nefel, once a Ben Kayoma. What does that mean? So Rashi says... There's no Rashi. So the answer is that he says maybe when Rav said that the shilya that comes out 3 days later should be concerned about another baby, it's talking about when the first baby that was born was a stillborn. It wasn't a viable baby when it was born. So maybe in that instance, the twin, we can be cautious that maybe there was a twin later on. But when a ben kayama, if the first baby born is a live baby, then the shilya is not going to come out 3 days later. Amrale, so Rav Yitzchak then says back, at amart l'shmait le'derav, you're saying that that's maybe what Rav says, beferish amar Rav Hachi. Rav said that explicitly. He pila nefel, if she gives birth to a nefel, a non-viable baby, the achar kach pila shilya, and then afterwards she expresses the placenta, close shlosha yomim, within 3 days of the delivery of the nefel, tolim es shilya bevlad. We assume that the shilya came with that vlad. Mikanda elach, from beyond 3 days, choshin levad acher. We're concerned about another vlad, and therefore yolda, if she gives birth to a viable baby, the achar kach pila shilya, and then she gives birth to the shilya, I feel mikanda asura yomim, even from now till 10 days, I don't want to use the word 10 days, maybe it's something in the notes, even from now till 10 days, ain't choshin levad acher. We're not choshish for another vlad. Tosos on the Amud Aleph says that even though tomorrow's daf, they're going to bring a case of where a vlad came out 3 months after, like 3 months later. So maybe 10, it could happen 3 months later. So Tosos, it's Tosos, the Master Yolda, says that that's not Shriach. So we don't concern ourselves with that. It's not Shriach, right? Tosos, I think it's Tosos Yolda. Maybe it's on the base.
No,
Yolda's an hour?
I'm on base.
All right, so Tosos Yoda says the case is Afal Gad Amal Kaman Dinishta Havlash Losh Chadashim Mikol Mokum Loshchiach the Kol Kamad Lo Chazin and Lo Chashinan. If we don't see, we're not going to be cautious for it. We're not going to be cautious for that. That's abnormal.
There's Tumas Leida for a stillborn as well, correct?
We've been discussing that. What type of Leida is considered
right,
a birth? Whatever, if it's considered a birth, then there's Tumas Leida. Right, but if it's like the bird, looks like a bird. Well, that was the whole.
The full term.
Yeah, I believe so. Okay, Shmuel the Talmidei Derav. Shmuel, the Talmidim of Rav, Virav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda have a Yosvi. This is interesting, because now Rav Yehuda is sitting by Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav, Rav died, and then he went to Shmuel. So now you have Shmuel, and Rav's Talmidim, and Rav Yehuda. Because, so this must be after Rav passed away, I guess. Have a Yosvi, they were sitting. Chazil v'Ozil Rav Yosef b'Reidi Rav Menashia mitvio. So this Rav Yosef from Dvil is passing before him, l'apayu, from Dvil, he's passing in front of them, Bali b'Ossi, and he's in a rush. He's going quickly. Amar, so Shmuel says, Islan Gavra, here is a person, Diramina le Begila Dechita. Yes, you can like, Umrame Umadche. This is a person who I guess you can blow over, you can knock him over with a small piece of straw, I guess you can, which means you can ask him a question and he's not gonna know what to answer. So Adahachi Asa, so Rav Yosef came. So Shmuel says, Amar le Shmuel. Shmuel says, My Amar Rav Bishilya. What did Rav, you have any memories from Rav regarding the placenta? I guess there must be what they were learning that day in Yeshiva. So Amar le, Hachi Amar Rav. So Rav Yosef answered, this is what Rav says, Ein tolin es Hashilya, ela bedavar shel kayama. We never suspect that the Shilya, right, we never suspect that the Shilya was something other than a viable Vlad. Ain't told him Mr. Shilya Elabadavish Kayama. So only if the meaning, even if it was a stillborn, it has to be something that theoretically could have been Bar Kayama. And Rashi says, Elabadavish Kayama, Shekiyotse Bo, Miskayim es Hayom, Hayuchadosh of Kolu, Lumute Shimipila Dover Shain Royal Librius Neshama. He go and Birech Echad Emso, all these other cases that we mentioned. It's a full fledged form baby. That we can assume that the Shilya came from. But we never suspect that the Shilya came from something that would have been impossible to have survived. So Shalil or Shmuel, L'chol Talmidei Rav. So Shmuel asked all the Talmidim of Rav if they heard this memory from Rav. V'amru lehachne, said, yeah. So Hadar Chazin Rav Yehuda Bishus. So then Shmuel looked askew, I guess, at Rav Yehuda, because he's upset that Rav Yehuda, who was the Talmud Mubak of Rav, never told him that this was a statement that Rav said. Otherwise, maybe it was the first day that Rav Yehuda sitting with Shmuel. I didn't have enough time yet to tell him yet. I don't know. But he was upset at Rav Yehuda for not telling him this statement. Okay.
What was the Lashon Hara, what he said about Rav Yosef?
I don't know. Shmuel, I think you have a lot of cases where Shmuel was Harif. He was pretty sharp. So I don't know. But he didn't, the Chabas Chaim didn't write a sefer yet, so I don't know. But Vayimine Rav Yosef, I'm kidding, there was still Lashon Hara before Chabas Chaim sefer, okay. Vayimine Rav Yosef and Shmuel and Rebbe. So Rav Yosef and Shaul asked the Rebbe, Hamapeles Demus Orev. She gives birth to something that looks like a raven, right, or a bird. Vishilya, again gives birth to, has the Shilya, Mahu. Do we say that the Shilya belonged to the Orev? And therefore, and we're not choshish, there was another vlad. And therefore what? I guess that there would be no tumah? Rashi says, Hamapelos Orev v'shilya ma'u, mi talinan shilya ba'orev, v'lo nechush levlad acher, o lo talinan, or we don't tell it with the other orev, we choshish it with another vlad, and then you have to start counting, you have to be worried that there was a vlad in it, and you have to count. So Amar Le, Rebbe said, ain't tolin el b'davar sheish b'minol shilya. Rebbe, who's generations before Rav, said that we don't assume the Shilya belongs to anything other than something that was viable. And I guess the Orev is not something that's viable. Therefore, in this case, even within 3 days, we're going to be choshesh that there was another Vlad in the Shilya. Then the Gemara said, okay, Keshura Bomahu. What if the Shilya is tied, it's tethered to the Orev that came out? Now you're going to still be told it's another baby? It clearly belongs to the Orev. You asked me something that's impossible. Everything else that we've done so far has been possible. This is impossible.
When the facts get away.
Well, when the facts get away, they're inconvenient, right? So, Amr Le, right. Don't bother me with your feelings. Okay. Esve, the Gemara S. Rebbe just said that it's impossible that the Shilya can be tied to this fetus that looks like the bird. The Gemara says, we have a Brisa, Hamapeles Min Behema. Chaya v'of v'shilya imahen. If she gives birth, she aborts something that looks like an animal, a chaya, a bird, and with the placenta, bizman shilya kashur imahen. When the shilya is tied to them, ain choshim levad acher. We don't suspect for another vlad. But ain shilya kashur imahen. If the shilya is not tied with them, then we're choshim that the shilya came from another vlad. therefore, harini mati oleim chomer shnei vlados. So I assume there are two vlados. The possibility exists that the shilya was another female, and therefore I have to count tumas leida from, you know, assuming it was a female, which has double the amount of days. So the kashya ni omer shema ni molech shafir shel shilya. Maybe the shafir got, you know, disintegrated inside the shilya. Vini mucha shel shilya shel shafir. I'm not even, so maybe we're concerned that there was a vlad in the shilya and it got disintegrated, and maybe the vlad. And maybe v'chini mucha shilya shel shafir. What does he say? Shani om shem. Rashi says klomar v'shilyosol shel zeh shelafaneinu nimuach v'zeh enol shel. So we're concerned, right? Maybe the shilya belongs to the vlad, and that vlad got disintegrated in there. But the shilya of the vlad disintegrated the shilya of the orid. Because if there were two births, there should be two placentas. So maybe one vlad got disintegrated, one shilya got disintegrated. So you see that? It is possible to have, don't tell me it ever happened, it is possible to have a placenta of coming out with the orev. Have a great day.
56.